the first night of our novena, and this year's theme is the interior life, looking at Mary's own interior life, and then on subsequent nights, looking at the interior life through the lens of various saints. So let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is so profoundly other. He cannot be contained, cannot be adequately explained by our words or concepts, and no one can completely understand him. Yet we are created in God's image. He has sown in our innermost being a sign of his own self. He made us a well of infinite depth, which cannot be filled with innumerable natural things, but only with himself. Our senses can be satisfied for a time, but we always remain dissatisfied and yearn for more. We so desperately seek prayer and advancement in the spiritual life. We look for new methods, manuals, books, programs, events. Yet as Father Plus, a Jesuit priest and a well-known spiritual author, would remind us, we forget to look at the primary sources, the sources that God gave us to teach us how to pray. And what is the best source? Mary's heart. Jesus gave her for us to look at, to learn from. She kept the secrets of the King, but her heart is not closed to us. It is open and present for us to learn from. Jesus wants Mary to mother our soul life, and Mary desires to carry out this mission. Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to work through Mary to produce countless saints. But as St. Louis de Montfort reminds us, one of the great reasons why the Holy Spirit does not do startling wonders in our souls is because he does not find there a sufficiently great union with his faithful and inseparable spouse, Mary. The more we become like Mary, the more we will be united to the Holy Spirit, who will transform our souls. So how do we become like Mary? What did her interior life look like? So as we look at Mary's interior life, we'll especially be using the joyful mysteries, and throughout, we'll be looking at the original language that the evangelist Luke used to write his gospel. So in order to properly look at Mary's interior life, something that needs to be emphasized is Mary's humanness. So although she was given many unique graces, Mary was a human woman who experienced a mix of joys and sorrows during her journey through life, which was also a true pilgrimage of faith. Mary chose to remain open to the Lord's plan at every step of the journey, even though what lay ahead was not always clear. Not everything was revealed to her at once. Although at the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel revealed a part of the great mystery of God's plan, Mary's faith was not completed at the Annunciation. Mary's assent, her yes, had to be repeated over and over again during Jesus' life. As Father Francis Maloney said, Mary's fiat did not lift her out of the necessary puzzlement, anxiety, and pain, which often arrives from the radical nature of the Christian vocation. She still had to proceed through the rest of her life, treasuring in her heart the mysteries revealed to her, never fully understanding, but patiently waiting for God's time and God's ultimate answer. Pope St. John Paul II sees Mary's fiat at the Annunciation as the point of departure from which her whole journey towards God begins, her whole pilgrimage of faith. As a Franciscan priest points out, Mary's pilgrimage was not a tourist adventure with a well-planned-out itinerary. Mary did not have the knowledge of the future that God has. Like us, Mary gradually discovered the mystery of Jesus Christ with an attitude of surrender, humble searching, and trusting availability. In the Annunciation account of the Gospel of Luke, after Mary hears Gabriel's greeting, Mary considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. The Greek word for considered means dialogue, and it denotes an intense, extended reflection, one that triggers a strong faith. Mary remains an attentive listener. She doesn't turn away from the Lord's call. Instead, she enters into an interior dialogue with the word that has been given to her. She speaks to it and lets it speak to her in order to fathom its meaning. After the Annunciation comes the Visitation. Mary sets out in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. This visit is meant by the Gospel writer to be understood mainly as a spiritual journey. The Greek words that are translated to English as in haste can be translated with thoughtfulness or with eagerness. Mary is not just traveling quickly or hastily. She is traveling with a deep thoughtfulness, prayerfulness, wonder, and joy, pondering all that God is accomplishing in Israel and also in her own life by sending the Messiah. When Mary arrives and is greeted by Elizabeth, Mary begins to pray her Magnificat, and this hymn-like response to Elizabeth's praise sheds additional light onto the interior life of Mary. The Greek word for magnify means to make great, extol, or praise. When Mary says that her soul magnifies the Lord, she is expressing how in the very depth of her being, she desires to praise God, to make God known, and to proclaim his name. When we think of the Annunciation and the Visitation together, we see Mary's discretion. Mary did not initiate the exchange of secrets between her and her cousin. Mary did not set out for Elizabeth's house in order to pour out her heart to her cousin. Mary keeps the secrets of the king. It's only after heaven reveals the secret to her cousin that Mary begins to speak of it. So too with us, some gifts we receive in prayer are meant to be kept as a secret of the king, a gift to be treasured between oneself and God alone. After these first two joyful mysteries comes the third joyful mystery, the Nativity. Mary went through many trials on her way to deliver Israel's Messiah, but she also leaves us a powerful example of how to face the crosses that come up in life. She kept all these things, pondering them in her heart, as we are told in the Gospel of Luke. Mary's pondering, the reflections of her immaculate heart, are richer and deeper than we can ever fathom. It is more than a mere remembering or recalling of past events. The Greek word for ponder means to throw side by side. It depicts someone meditating, comparing ideas, putting one's thoughts into a comprehensive whole. The Greek word for keep describes someone reflecting on the meaning of profound events, especially matters of divine revelation. This word is used elsewhere in the Bible, especially in the book of Genesis with Joseph and his dreams, as well as the prophet Daniel, to describe someone wanting to interpret the meaning of a vision or a dream correctly according to God's design. In the wisdom books of the Old Testament, this phrase, keep and ponder, describes someone seeking not only to interpret the message correctly, but also to observe it, to live it out. The goal of hearing and understanding God's word is not just for an intellectual knowledge, but to understand God's word in order to live it, to carry it out. Luke's statement describes Mary as a woman who seeks to understand the deeper meaning of all the events that surround Jesus' birth. What is God trying to reveal to her through these trials? Mary seeks to understand God's design so that she can live according to what he is trying to teach her. Mary's response to Jesus' birth, pondering and keeping all these events in her heart, is in contrast to the reaction of those who hear the shepherds. Luke tells us that all who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Wonder is a typical natural reaction to a supernatural event. Wonder is a good thing, a good quality to have. It's by no means something negative. Yet wonder is not the same as faith. Wonder is not sustained in the same way that Mary's faith is sustained by pondering and keeping all of those reflections in her heart. Mary doesn't just react to what is happening around her, she reflects. 40 days after the Nativity comes the presentation of Jesus in the temple, the fourth joyful mystery. Here, Simeon reveals to Mary that Jesus will be a sign of contradiction, that he will have much to suffer, and that a sword will pierce Mary's own heart. Pope St. John Paul II described Simeon's prophecy as a second annunciation to Mary. At the first annunciation, she learned that she would become the mother of the Messiah. Now she learns that this role will include much suffering. Mary's pilgrimage of faith will be lived out in suffering. Imagine Mary walking around, living each day with the knowledge of unspeakable pain to come. Yet she does not waver or want out. Mary is also the only person in Luke's gospel whose soul is mentioned and described, and it actually occurs twice. First, in the Magnificat, it begins with the words, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." Then at the presentation in the temple, Simeon tells Mary that her soul will be pierced by a sword. Dr. Edward Shree reflects on this connection and says that these two scripture passages, taken together, show us precisely how Mary's soul magnifies the Lord. Mary's soul gives God the most praise when it shares in the sacrificial love of her Son. And that can be applied to us as well. When we have something to offer, when we have a sorrow to bear, when we unite ourselves to the Lord in that suffering, that's also when we are magnifying the Lord. In the fifth joyful mystery, the finding of Jesus in the temple, this is the only recorded event in Scripture from the time that Jesus is 40 days old until he begins his public ministry at the age of 30. So it is significant that at the end of this Bible passage, it ends with the words, "Mary kept all these things in her heart." When Mary and Joseph finally come upon Jesus in the temple, Mary says to him, "Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." The Greek word that is translated as anxiety connotes a deep spiritual or mental anguish. While Mary is grateful, she is puzzled by the mysterious event and by Jesus' response to her, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Mary and Joseph are challenged to reflect more deeply on Jesus' unique intimacy with his heavenly father. They are being called to cooperate in their son's mission by letting him go wherever the father might lead him, even if it causes them distress. Pope St. John Paul II calls this a renewal of Mary's fiat. Mary repeated her fiat over and over again at all stages of her life. This repeated fiat, her continual renewal of her yes to God's plan and everything that went with it, is what led her to a constantly deeper union with God. It kept her free from anxiety. It gave her a formidable interior state of calm, serenity, and dignity. This fiat conferred on her an indestructible fortitude, which left her in a state of deep calm, gentleness, and dignity. The depth and beauty of Mary's interior life didn't come because she never experienced confusion, but because when Mary did not understand something, she did not react with impatience, anxiety, or fright. She is full of peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and she takes hold of God's words, enters within herself, and, remaining recollected, reflects upon God's word. She is like a flower who, when the sun disappears, turns in on itself until the sun returns. Mary's strength of soul came because she was deeply contemplative, but this contemplation did not remain focused on herself. Instead, Mary pondered and then turned outward, selflessly giving of herself to others. Her contemplation led to action. Mary gratefully and joyfully pondered the words of the angel Gabriel. Then she set out in haste to visit and serve her cousin Elizabeth. Mary ponders as she holds her newborn son, then turns and shows him to the shepherds and the Magi, and then to Simeon and Anna. These words that she kept in her heart were like lamps that she kept perpetually lit. She guarded them diligently and meditated on them in her heart. Mary held on to these words during times of darkness. These lamps brought light to the dark perplexities of life. One spiritual writer reflects on the difficulties that Mary experienced during the flight into Egypt or standing at the foot of the cross on Calvary. He says it's easy to be selflessly heroic for an hour or even a day or a week. There's something new and exciting about it. But it is more difficult to endure something, to be heroic for a long time. Then he goes on to say that another trial Mary endured would have been the long, hidden years of their life in Nazareth. Mary had heard the angel Gabriel say of Jesus that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then for years and years, she experiences the ordinariness of daily life, the hidden silence of Nazareth. But Mary is the model of courage, strength, and mature faith. She can be a model for us in our vocations, whether the priesthood, religious life, or marriage, in how to persevere in fidelity with self-giving love and a deep joy once the initial enthusiasm and excitement wears off and the monotony of routine and discouragement starts to creep in. This pondering can be practiced anytime, anywhere, by the old or the young, and we can ponder both our sorrows and our joys. For example, when I was student teaching at a public school, there was a teacher there who had previously taught at an Orthodox Christian school. One day when our classes were waiting in the hallway, that teacher's class received a compliment from one of the women who worked in the lunchroom. Immediately, the students began to cheer. "Oh, first grade," that teacher exclaimed. "Be happy in your hearts." Then she turned to me and whispered, "When I was at the Christian school, I would have added, just like how Mary pondered all things in her heart." Since we are body and soul, and we live in the world, we sometimes forget to raise our minds and hearts to God in the midst of our daily duties. Mary shows us that we can be thinking about God and the things of God as we go about our daily work. Mary leads us deeper into an interior devotion. For example, when we pray the rosary, it is easy to go through the motions and recite all the words. But when we ponder the mysteries with Mary, when we look at the mysteries with Mary as a scrapbook of Jesus' life, then we are deepening our prayer and growing in our interior life. We have a certain prayer in our IHM prayer book that is directed toward Mary, the Queen of the Blessed Sacrament, and can be prayed at the beginning of any time of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, asking her to make it fruitful and to help us be attentive. I have found that when I ask Mary to help me pray before any time of prayer, whether it is a holy hour, a rosary, the Mass, or even reading scripture, I always pray more fervently and attentively than when I don't ask her for help. Why is this? Because Mary always leads us to Jesus. I just go to Mary and ask for help in learning to pray, and she, as a good mother, shows us how and leads us to her Son. There are many effects that Mary has upon our own interior life when we invite her to help us. One spiritual writer says, "When the Blessed Virgin enters into the life of a soul, he causes a radiant springtime to blossom there. She chases away gloomy clouds of sadness, doubt, and discouragement. Hearts that give themselves sincerely to her are flooded with charity, peace, and happiness." Mary's own suffering has much to teach us. Seeing Mary at the foot of the cross, holding the body of her lifeless Son, shows us that we can turn to our faith when all else fails. There are certain sufferings that one endures only because one has prayed for a long time near the cross or at the site of the cross. Father Jeremiah Miriam, a CFR brother and priest who's also a spiritual director and has written and spoken about the role that Mary has in our interior life, was asked by someone, "As a spiritual director, what do you see that with those you direct who have found peace in difficult times?" He answered, "If somebody were to ask me what had happened to each of them, I would simply say, Mary is what happened to them. Amid their confusion, pain, and brokenness, by turning more deeply to her, they found in her that loving, accepting, and nurturing mother whose presence in a very real way dried their tears. Once those tears were dry, Mary did what she always does. She took them by the hand in the darkness and led them back to the presence of her Son, the light of the world." Mary helps guide us through the anxieties of daily life. Her example of confidence in God and listening to him, joined to her deep pondering and reflection on his word, shows us how to navigate the events of our lives without being swept away in an emotional frenzy about the what-ifs of everyday life. Someone also asked Father Jeremiah Miriam what Mary would say to us if she were our spiritual director. And so as I conclude this talk, I invite you to picture what he is saying, and perhaps you can return to this place with Mary during Holy Hour. So he replied, "This is the way I imagine it. I am sitting with Mary in a room overlooking a lake. On the wall is a simple crucifix, and we are seated on two simple wooden chairs. I begin by expressing to her all my fears, desires, hopes, wounds, weaknesses, etc. All the while, Mary is listening very attentively and with deep compassion in her eyes. When I am finished, we sit there together in silence and gaze out the window at the lake. After a few moments, she looks me in the eye and says, 'My child, God is trustworthy. Don't be afraid to say yes to him. Don't wait for consolation. Don't wait for understanding. Don't wait for everyone to agree with you. And don't wait until everything in your life is perfect, because it never will be. Say yes to him today, and then tomorrow, and again every day, because he is trustworthy and he is faithful.' Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." All right, thank you. We will move down the hallway for refreshments in just a few moments.